The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Don't miss out on your chance to listen to four-time Super Bowl champ Charlie Weiss on the only podcast solely devoted to everyone's favorite position in football, the quarterback. Listen for free now by subscribing wherever you get podcasts or by going to CelebrityQB.com.
Previously on the Fantasy Throwdown podcast, Dave Roberts had a mental cramp and Yu Darvish was lit up by the Astros. 5-0 Astros as we are now in the bottom of the third. Kershaw has already entered the game for the Dodgers. I've been eating dinner in the meantime because this is the perfect situation for Kershaw. No pressure because everyone thinks the Dodgers are done. So I think he's actually going to pitch well now, which I didn't think before. But now that he's has so little pressure on him now, being this far down, he can actually settle in. Dodgers have runners on first and second. And Cody Bellinger strikes out on yet another curveball. Cody Bellinger, in this series, keeps swinging at the curveball. McCullers is wild in the strike zone. He's hit four batters, doesn't have control on his fastball, and Bellinger keeps going after the curveball. It's just a pet peeve. If you have a pitcher that's wild, and you're down, you got runners on, you're not going to tie up the game with a homer. Why are you doing home run swings when you need to get men on base and work the count?
Just getting go. Hey, Pop.
All right. Riley, I'm going to call you this morning. I'm from Cleveland. Just take me, bro. I call it the Steve Mesmer. He said, look, everybody's got to go. He said, look, I like Hugh Jackson. It's not his fault, but he's got to go. The Baltimore, he had to go. The janitor, if he leave up in other rooms, he had to go. I can't afford to have anybody that's connected with this. Stay around. Everybody, the people cut the grass. Hey, is anybody fucking attendance, I just, everybody, let's go. He said, I know they're bald, but I can't take no chances. He said, I can't take no chances. I can't have anybody that was connected to this machine.
But
how the hell you going to tell me?
Oh, my God. No, Callie, I was explaining this on the podcast. So here's what you missed. Some of the Cleveland front office wanted to make the trade, and some of them realized how stupid the trade was to trade a second and a third for McCarron when the Patriots only gave up a second, gave up Garoppolo for only a second round pick.
So there were
smart people in the Cleveland office. So here's what I think happened. They knew it was a stupid trade. So to sabotage the trade, they deliberately left the NFL off the email that the first group did. Confirming the trade to the Bengals. So that's what I think happened. I think they deliberately left the NFL out of the email to make sure that the trade would get sabotaged, knowing that the people who wanted this trade done in the front office were dumb enough not to notice that the NFL wasn't copied on the email. So someone may get fired, but it's like someone who did not want their name associated with making a trade this dumb. So my expectation is someone's going to like quit or get fired over this, and you probably know who was the person that didn't want this trade to go through. Either that, or they're that incompetent that they actually thought this was a good trade and forgot to copy the league in, which is also possible. But I have to think someone in that organization had to be smart enough to realize how dumb this trade was if it went through.
Here's what I didn't understand with this team. You know, I mean, I know they look bad. Because when you watch at all the quarterbacks that they passed on, you know, Deshaun Watson, you know, everybody keeps talking about Deshaun Watson. I mean, yeah, Deshaun Watson is good. I knew he would have been good because I kept saying, and that, you know, anybody who could, you know, come back against Alabama like they did.
That's not going to carry.
You know, yeah. What is it?
Nah, I was saying that ball's not gonna carry. Everyone's making news and odds about Puig, but like he just hit a deep pop fly. That's all. He didn't get all of it. He got on the end of the bat.
Yeah. Well, they told you what happened like the other night when he hit that one at the end of the bat with one hand. You know. Yeah. So.
But the thing was, Puig knows he missed that pitch. That he probably should have hit that one out, but he missed it. He just got too far under it. But like my issue with the Dodgers right now is because of how badly Darvish was pitching, they're overdoing it in terms of trying to do home run swings. They just got to do the Yankees the 98 Yankees routine of just keep working the at bats so you get runners on base and you start nibbling throughout the course of the game rather than try to do the home run swing. Like Bellinger's been doing home run swings this whole series and he keeps striking out.
I think Cleveland's a position like they don't even know what to do. They're scared because they're scared to go to the draft and screw it up again.
Well, they sold the fan base on Deshaun Kizer. That's it. It's like when you already sell the when you pass on so many QBs and then you select the QB, there's so much pressure on that QB to actually be the guy that, you know. I'll be perfectly honest. I didn't like Kizer at Notre Dame. So when he got selected as early as he did by the Browns, I'm like, really? That's the guy you, out of all the QBs you could have selected, Deshaun Kizer was the one you felt was the guy. And it's like, you got to be kidding me. You had a chance at Deshaun Watson and you're going to pass on him for Kizer? Really? I mean, that's how you know they didn't know what they were doing.
They don't know what they're doing. That's the thing. But it's just Deshaun Kizer. It's not just Deshaun Watson. It's Carson Wentz. Last year it was Goff. I mean it's look how many quarterbacks. You know, they could have had Trubisky. Remember, all these quarterbacks, they didn't have to move for. It's not like they had to give up anything.
No, they
doesn't matter.
No, that's my point. They evaluated Kizer as the best QB in that draft class. Given their position, that's what when you make that decision, that's what you're essentially saying is that we don't like this QB draft class. Kizer is our best rated QB, and we're gonna draft Myles Garrett. Because he's the best player we think is in this draft, but we don't think there's a franchise QB. But the most likely is Deshaun Kizer. So when you make that stance, you have to at least be able to demonstrate where their qualities in Kizer that translate from year one to year two. Now, there's a possibility that year two, you see growth out of Kaiser, but at best case scenario, you see a slight improvement the way you saw out of Goff, where he doesn't look like he's completely lost in the woods, like he's a kid in a supermarket by himself. I mean, that's essentially what you're praying for at this stage, because he's not even making proper reads of base defenses, let alone when they do complicated blitz packages. I mean, he's completely done. But, you know, it's just the basic stuff that he's struggling with. And the fact that he's, you know, I mean, I don't know what kind of nightlife you can have in Cleveland, but the fact that he's out partying with his friends ain't doing wonders either. So.
Well, that's one of the problems with Cleveland. I don't know what kind of organization they run, because it's the same problem they had with Mandel. Like, they can't get the athletes to behave themselves. Josh Gordon,
The excuse that they always made with Mandel is that Mandel was an alcoholic. But, you know, okay, then.
Are you not supposed to know that before you selected him?
Well, therein lies the rub. Because it's like, you know, people were telling you that he was a huge risk because he had issues.
Kind of decision. You know, you gotta, if you make a mistake and you're gonna do it again, you would think that you would, you know, look for every single eye and every single key and fix them. You know? So I don't know. It's just like
it's
doomed to failure, you know.
Well, it's not like you actually have a good ownership group either. I mean, in terms of owners, Jimmy Haslam is considered one of the most clueless owners you can have. He's got money, but he doesn't have any background of having football guys or anything of that sort. It looks like he's just looking at the Browns as a way to make money.
they were saying that he hires a baseball guy to run the football thing, you know. So it's they make this thing look so difficult. It's not even funny, you know. I just died laughing when I laughed when this thing happened. I said, I gotta call it, because this is just absolutely ridiculous.
I mean, when I saw the story, I was just like, you can't be serious.
Can't be serious. I said, if it's Wednesday, it's Cleveland.
that's why it was just one of those stories where you just look at it and like, really?
Only Cleveland this could happen to. Only Cleveland this could happen to. You know, it's just, you know, you just shake your head. And see, this can only happen to Cleveland. Because, like I said, now it's two things with the Patriots. Now, the Patriots, actually, I was wondering with the, it's two things with the Patriots. I thought they were being extra greedy, you know, because I keep telling people, and I'm going to see if I'm wrong. I say, beware the Patriots with this Jimmy Garoppolo thing.
Well, you don't like Jimmy G?
Well, the problem I have with Jimmy G is I always remember Matt Castle won 11 games.
Hey, Matt Castle had two good years in Kansas City. Don't forget that. He still had two good years.
which one of the two?
I mean, if you're asking me to remember exactly what it was, but you know, if you want a QB that's not absolutely horrible, you had Matt Castle for 2 years.
I said, while that was going on, that somebody, it's two people I said that about, but Matt Castle and this guy who was in Chicago, McNown. I said, I said, somebody's gonna pay a lot of money for this guy, and they're gonna realize that this is a flash in the pan. Because, I mean, you can see it. You know, the Patriots have a system, and the way they do things, and the receivers, you know, they have to run precise routes, or better get rid of him. So it's easy for the quarterback, you know. I don't know, you know, because people are basing this thing about Garoppolo on a couple of games.
Matt Castle.
Not Matt Castle. The one up in Denver.
Osweiler.
Osweiler.
You know. Well, I was gonna give you the Now I just blanked on the guy's name. Why am I blanking on the guy's name? Who was the guy? Why am I blanking on the dude's name? Matt Flynn, that was the guy. That was the ultimate case. Matt Flynn.
Another guy, Matt Flynn. Another guy. He was another one that did all of this nonsense, and all of a sudden, you know, he had 6 touchdowns, you know? And another one got a pile of money and got beaten out by Russell Wilson in Seattle, you know. But at least Seattle realized, hey, we made a mistake. We're not putting him on the field just because we paid him that money, you know. So I say beware of Jimmy Garoppolo, because the Patriots kept hanging on to him. Now, the Cleveland thing, I thought the reason they didn't take advantage of Cleveland was either one, they could get more, they thought they could get more, or Belichick, if he's the one calling the shot, wanted to pick Cleveland back for fire. Yeah.
That was one of the reasons why I didn't think Garoppolo went to the Browns, because Belichick's not going to help the Browns.
But that's what I'm saying.
He's never going to help the Browns.
I thought he was like, you know, you guys didn't have faith in me. I'm not going to do anything to help you.
Oh, yeah, no, that's absolutely what happened there.
So, yeah, that's what I thought. Because the Browns are so easy to take advantage of. You don't even have to try. So I don't know why the Bulls is like, oh, he's going to get more from the Browns. He don't want it, you know? The Browns are too easy this is why I said, Allgaier.
Oh, Jerry Reese.
That he can figure out a way to pry Joe Thomas away from Cleveland. Come on. When Cleveland was getting rid of all those starters at the beginning of the season, you know, I'm not the dangler. You know, what? Eric Flores is looking so good that he doesn't. Why do I need a Hall of Famer here? I got a future Hall of Famer.
Callie, why are you trying to punish yourself with talking about the past? We got to talk about the future with the Giants. The future. You got a bright future.
Yeah, please. Yeah. The one thing is happening this year that I'm glad for is his name is starting to call a lot now on the radio. And I was pissed off that last year that just because, you know, that in the off season, that just because he fixed, I know it fixed, he bought a defense last year. And the only reason why you're doing that is because you can't draft, you know, this thing about drafting and getting 1-6 every other year, not even every year, 1-6 every other year, that's not drafting. That's why the Giants are so thin at every position.
Yes.
You know, because
I'm sure
DRC is not coming back.
Well, that's the thing. Like, Diassi's so old at this point. It's like, why would he subject himself to that?
Diassi is not coming back. You know, like, Katrias may not be coming back because, you know, he's injured. You're not going to want to pay him that money. You know, so we losing people on the defensive end, too. And you already see this year. And I know they just chalk it up to they believe their own hype on, you know, the defense, you know, played bad because it, but hey, if you think losing Hankins was simple, you gotta be kidding me. Because one of the problems I have with Reese is that the first mistake he made is nobody was going to pay JPP that kind of money. Why did you bid against yourself when you pay him so much money?
Okay, I've had this conversation with a couple of folks, but the issue with the JPP contract was there was a potential for a couple of teams that might have actually made a run at him. It's just that none of those teams were going to be in major markets. That was my issue with Reese. To me, Reese was trying to do a bidding war for a player that was unlikely to leave a major media market to go to a small media market just for an extra couple mil. That's the part that was driving me nuts.
Yeah, but Dwayne, then you pay it. Okay, then you pay it. You know, or draw the line for JPP and say, well, look, we stuck by you when your hand was bad. You want to leave? It's fine. You know? So but you had to figure out that when you do that, you were starting to hamstring yourself because you spent so much money. But, I mean, you overpaid for the Olivia Vernon. Yeah, okay. You had to do that because that was the market. You got stuck with the market there. You understand? But the reason you had to overpay for him again, you drafted so bad that the only way you could fix the defense is to buy one. When you have to buy shit, you end up overpaying for it. Always. If you buy it on sale, you pay cheap and you get, you know, the same good stuff, but that's when you buy it on sale. But if you have to buy, if you're back against the wall and you have to buy at the seller's price. And that's what happened to Reese. You see? So it's ridiculous, you know? So I don't understand, you know. Now that it, you know, the position we're in, you have to know that that's what's going to happen. You know. So we were stuck there. That thing. And look, it had moves that, like you said, the thing with Mac. We never heard anything. You know, at least let us know that, I'm trying to get Mark or something. No. The same thing like this year. He never made any moves to show up that line. You know, the Okun was out there. You brought him in. You interviewed him. When you need Okun, you can go someplace else. We don't need to get into that. O-line is fine. And O-line hasn't been good for about 3 years. You know, everybody keeps talking about this. It was about 3 years. Because even last year when we made the playoffs not scoring more than 20 runs. I mean, I'd say runs. Point. You know? So it's not like if the offense was playing great. And I don't understand why you thought that now that you lost Hankins, that defense could keep staying out there all the time. And, you know, because one of the things last year with the defense is you couldn't run on the defense. You know, we bottle up. Look at the numbers against the Giants last year. Look at them. Nobody ran rushed over the Giants. Look at the difference this year. Because when Hankins and Snacks in the middle there, you couldn't run. So you kind of made the teams, one-dimensional. And then your secondary was, you showed up the secondary. So, okay, so then we could keep them out. But when you allow that, to thinking that it can't be that important. And this year, check how many people run for over 100 yards again.
Kelly,
can't just be that we thought we was good.
Don't worry, Kelly. Dalvin Tomlinson's going to be a quality NFL starter in a few years.
Who?
Well, that's our replacement for Hankins, the our second round pick.
Look, Dwayne, I am not saying he's not going to be, that he can't be pretty good. But for you to think that a rookie is going to come in there and immediately make that impact, it's not like he's playing bad.
But see, Callie, that's why Jerry Reese gets paid the big bucks. So he knows better than we do that kid can make the transition.
It's not that he's playing bad. It's not like if they're running roughshod over the Giants, but they are running too much. And when they can run like that, you can't do the things with the secondary that you're gonna do. Now they have to be creeping up.
Yeah.
But, you can throw on them.
But you see now the fact that we aren't winning games, you start seeing the character flaws that is why we got some of those plays in the first place. Because Janoris Jenkins, again, when left to his own devices, if you're not winning, kind of gets into trouble. That's why he had to get suspended. Because, you know, the team's not doing anything. So what do you think he's going to do? He's going to do what he wants to do.
That's another thing. They came last year and they were there because remember, that was one of the problems that he had over there in with the Rams. That he was an indisciplined player. You know? But when you put yourself in a position where you have to get these guys, because you needed the corner, that's your problem there. You see? And last year, he just bought shit because he knew, they told him, if we don't make the playoff, you're getting fired. That's why he couldn't take the chance on Jalen Smith, and that's why he didn't want to take the chance on you know, he can tell me it's a management thing as much as he wants. He was scared to take Larry Tunsil because his job was on the line. You know, all he was thinking about is I gotta make an impact. The defense was the worst thing we had. You know, I gotta fix the defense. That's it. That's all he did. That's all he did. And the way to fix it is to buy the highest priced players out there. That's all he did. I keep telling people that when they tell about that, he didn't do anything. Anybody could do that. I couldn't do that. You make me the manager, I couldn't do that. Because all I had to do is, hey, Julian, I want you to come play for us. I'm going to get it. And he blew everybody else out of the water with the money. What? That's so difficult to do? I tell people, this is one of the best years I ever saw Brian Cashman, last year, one of the best years Brian Cashman had. Because he got rid of all our dead weight, and he got back, he hit home runs for all of it, because all you can get is young talent, and hope that they do, because you got to start with the young talent.
This was the year Cashman actually earned his stripes because he got to do what he wanted to do, and again, to your point, he hit homers with basically every pick because every guy contributed in some way, shape, or another. They contributed over a veteran starter that he could have signed as an alternative.
Right. And remember, they went with Bird for almost the whole season. And the way how Bird, after coming back later, the way how he performed, and how he was going in spring training, you could say, oh, he would have been great all season. So even if some of the players that he got in some of those streets don't work out, he's still ahead of the game. You see? So that's when you see your manager. If you get buying players, that's not see, anybody could do that. Because players are gonna come for the money. Don't tell me they're not gonna come, they're gonna come for the money. You're just buying, that's not a manager. It's when you got hey, it don't always turn into championships because we saw the Braves only won one with all that talent. So it doesn't always work out to championships. But you got to start there. When you start like the Yankees are, the Yankees might go on a run for a long time here. Because with the team that they have on the field there now, and all those guys that's still to come, in the minor, Torres and all of those guys. The Yankees could be stacked for some years to come. Who knows? Maybe. But at least you can say that. You look at the Giants, and Hankins was running down the other day. And when you look back, you check and see how many of those picks. Try and remember those picks that the Giants.
I'll make it simple for you. The 2011 draft and the 2012 draft, none of those picks made the roster.
No. Yeah,
so the only picks that are still on the roster are from Pugh's year.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. That's the reason we are in the position we are in. Because the only time we get in people is when we could pay for them. And your salary cap won't allow you to do that. Because... like Anita Marks was showing the other day. A lot of people are saying that, it's an easy fix. You need to just fix the line. But the Jazz actually have more problems than that. And, when she started talking, she's right. Where are we getting these linemen from? Where are we getting them from?
Again, this is why when you draft poorly, you have to hit while the iron's hot. That's why this year was so important. Now that we've missed our window, it's too late now. It really is. It's one of those situations where You have to now make the decision of, do you force Eli to rework his contract or say we may end up having to let – because honestly, they don't want to let Eli go, but if you're going to do a teardown, why would Eli sign up to do that? I mean, realistically, the Giants have to do a teardown.
Oh, yeah.
Because you can pay Odell or you can franchise him and play out this year and then see if you want to trade him in the offseason. But it's like, that's the rub with the Giants. If you let Reese stay in there, which is a possibility given how the Maros are slow to react to almost everything, if you let Reese stay in there, he's going to try to fire more money at the problem, which is only going to make it worse.
It's going to pay Odell. Look, that guy, he was a lineman for the Steelers and
he
played for the Jets.
Willie Colon
was saying, look, hey, you might have to trade Odell. You see, because right now, if you think about it, where are you getting the money from to pay him and then fix the line? You know, because do you want to pay Odell coming off the injury? Who are you paying for? You paying for the guy before or the guy now? You know, remember, Victor Cruz never came back from that injury. We never got back the Victor Cruz that left
from
that injury.
No, that patella tear was it.
That's what I'm saying. So, do we have a crystal ball? Do we know if Odell is going to be that same guy? Right now, if you play Odell, yeah, for the Odell that was on the field this year and last year, do we know that Odell is going to be the Odell that's coming back? So it's like the old West Indian thing, you're buying cat and dog. Because you have no idea. Nobody knows if he's going to be the same after that injury. And you're probably the only team that's going to pay him that money. Because if he goes on the market, I don't think any team is going to just up to pay Odell that money without seeing him play again. And he can't play for anybody else but the Giants. And I don't think he's going to come and play for $8 million. You know, the fact that he got injured this year, he might say, I don't care, I'm holding on until I get my money. And knowing Reese, he probably paying. Because I think he doesn't get fired. You know.
Like I said, this all depends on how the Giants manage the Jerry Reese situation, because if Reese stays in the job, Odell's getting the contract. Guaranteed he's getting the contract.
Look, let me tell you something. If the Giants are looking at the same thing people are now starting to talk about, which we were talking about for the last couple of years that we don't understand, because I didn't play the fans just one day and like, how the hell did this guy get support? And Francis is like, oh, you know, he tried this. I mean, the guy won 2 Super Bowls. And, you know, they keep putting that up. And, yeah, he won 2 Super Bowls, but, hey, and I liked it when we
First of all, the first Super Bowl was a Corsi. Like, they keep framing it as some kind of Jerry Reese was the architect behind the 2017. That was still a Corsi. He's got one Super Bowl as a GM. He was an assistant in 07. And in 2011, that defense was ranked pretty much dead last and got hot at the end of the year.
I'm not going to say that. If you remember that 2011 team, I mean, we was like, I remember that Bills game because I had gone down to Trinidad, and I was saying that by the time the Bills beat us, that's going to be it, and Coughlin's going to be fired, and We're probably going to get rid of Jerry Reese, too, because he didn't do anything. And we won that game, and, you know, it's like, no, that wasn't the 2011, that is 07, because the 2011 team, I was here for the first round of the playoffs. It's the Jets game.
That's why I was wondering if you're thinking of the 07. No, but the 11 was the Jets game because Rex had the brilliant idea of like Rex, covering up right, the Giants. The
Rex
Giants
ran
awards.
His mouth. Rex ran his mouth, and the Giants. You know, he kind of pissed off Brandon Jacobs, and he and Brandon Jacobs had that shouting match, and the team just got pissed off at that thing, and, you know, Cruz went wild. And they just caught fire off of that game and just ran through the playoffs. You know, because remember, they had to actually win the division in order to make the playoffs. The only way they could have made the playoffs is to win the division. And thanks to the Jets, they ran off those four wins. And they beat the Cowboys and win the division. And you know, anytime it's a do or die game with the Cowboys, they're going to give it to you.
Yeah. Pretty much.
So it wasn't anything great. And that defense, most of the players that was left there was still from that Okorsi draft. It was same Tuck and Umaniora and them.
And Kiwi.
Same guys, you know. He brought in a couple of the linebacker.
Kavika Mitchell.
Well,
Kavika Mitchell was 07. It was it was the guy from the Panthers. The guy from the Panthers got injured. Antonio, why am I blanking on his name?
Yeah, I can't remember it because he made an interception in the Super Bowl.
Well, no. Well, you're thinking of Chase Blackburn, but it was Antonio Pierce I was thinking of. But it was like Pierce was the middle linebacker, and then Reese brought back Chase Blackburn.
Yeah, he brought back Chase Blackburn. That was basically the only person that he brought back. But most of the guys was the same guys from the Okorsi thing. With Umaniora and Strahan had left, but we still had Tuck and Umaniora and those guys. So it was basically the same guys. It's in defense. But that defense wasn't playing good until the end of the season and the playoffs. You know? So, I don't know. It's something else.
Yeah. Yeah. But, I mean, like I said, Callie, you know, I'm not going to... Well, yeah, I'll probably rant and rave about the Giants, but it's like I can't wax philosophic about the Giants' future until there's a decision made about Reese. Until there's a decision made about Reese, you know, it's going to go one of two ways. If Reese stays, he's going to try to reshoot this and in a panic move to try to save his job next year. Or if we get rid of Reese, then we have a chance of actually doing a proper rebuild of stockpiling the draft picks that we should have had in the first place.
They get rid of Reese and McAdoo, and don't be surprised if you see John Fox and I forget the guy. I think he's in Baltimore because they're saying, you think Rashad is going to let that happen? You say, he was there with the Giants before, and you know. And but the Giants love John Fox, so
Yeah. But like the thing that but see the thing of it is that what you know in terms of Freeze and how he screwed things up was the fact that we had a trading deadline yesterday and we have all these DBs. If you knew you were going to suspend Janoris Jenkins, why was he not on the trading block?
No, we got to hold on to him for next year.
Again, it's like, if you wanted to make an example of, like, show them what to do in the locker room, why not trade him? You could have gotten at least someone interested if you put in the call, because somebody somewhere is looking for a defensive back. You're never gonna be hurting for a defensive back. It's like if you wanted to trade Jenkins, if you wanted to trade Rogers Cromartie, someone would have entertained that phone call.
What do you mean somebody gonna entertain up? So that I've been in first place and they still made trades. Because they're trying to show up.
Yeah.
You know. So that's what I'm saying. You know, you always hear all those, you know, you see all those things. You realize that Cam Newton was pissed off at Kevin Benjamin because he keep putting in. They were pissed off because
he was out of shape again.
Huh?
He was out of shape for camp again.
Yeah, he's out of shape. I mean, if you want Kevin Benjamin, I'm like, who the hell is this big fat guy in the field? And he keep not being able to run the proper route. And you saw Cam kind of pissed off at him the other day, you know. So they cut him. They traded him to think, you know.
Yeah, which is another deal I didn't get, because you're the Bills. You already said you want to tank this year. And now because you're 5-2, you want to make this half-assed effort like you're going to make a run. It's like, you traded away Sammy Watkins, so you bring in a Sammy Watkins type receiver for the same compensation that you gave up for Sammy Watkins. Like, that was such a lateral move; it made no sense.
I didn't understand that the unless they think if you get the Kevin Benjamin that we know. You know, if he's gonna rededicate himself to you know, getting in shape, yeah. But I don't know. You know, if you can't get in shape in the off season, I don't see how you're gonna get in shape. You know.
During the season, yeah. So
it's you know, like I said, the only good thing with Kevin Benjamin, like I said, is the potential. Because he's so big, if he really gets himself in shape, you know, he you can't cover him. You know, but we'll see. You know. And the Bills have the running game to take the heat off of the receivers. You know, so I don't know. But like I say, everybody made moves. We set. We don't need anything. You know. There's something else. Anyway.
Yeah.
Let's see what's going on. I just got a late text here from my boss.
Yeah. Anyway. Yeah. We'll catch up. I'm not sure if anything else is going to go on with the World Series. So we'll catch up.
I'm not gonna worry about that. If the Dodgers come back, they're doing. But you know, when you spot a team 5 runs, you can't be thinking you're gonna be lucky every time.
Just, you know, and everyone is gonna be second guessing Dave Roberts, and justifiably so, because nothing Darvish threw up there tonight resembled a guy who should be in your critical game. He looked completely out of touch with his pitches and had no confidence, and he still left him in there to get crushed. It made no sense.
The problem I have with that is, what did he do in his last game? You know, if Severino had come in in the Cleveland series and give up a set of runs in the first inning. You don't think Girardi would have put him in the first inning?
That's my point.
Because he remembers what happened in the Minnesota thing. You know, you got to have a quick hook for him. And this is an elimination game.
But that was the thing. Dave Roberts had been pulling guys so early in games, he overused his bullpen, so he didn't have a choice. I mean, he had a choice, but he didn't have a good choice because there were no fresh bullpen arms left in the game, unless you're going to Brandon McCarthy, who is not a good pitcher. He can throw up junk.
I was listening to Kutchin this morning. And he is saying he thinks the way we're going to go tonight, if Darvish, because they talked about how bad he looked in the first inning, because they say he was throwing up behind the last game, you know, that he had nothing. So they were saying that he's going to be on a really short hook tonight, and they think the first guy out of the pen tonight would be Wood, because he's a starter, but he had bullpen experience. So
another guy that Dave Roberts pulled early. I mean, there were so many arms that Dave Roberts could have gone to, and he literally just let Darvish stay out there to get crushed. I couldn't believe he was that slow to get guys ready in the bullpen. After that first inning, they should have been warming up.
To have a guy warming up in the first inning, just in case. Because remember, Kershaw called him and he wanted a pitch in game six. Okay? So you know you have Kershaw available because you want to redeem himself. Because if they come back and lose this series, you know, a lot of people are going to look back, yeah, they're going to, you know, Darvish did good, but a lot of people are going to look back at that Kershaw game with that four-run lead.
But we talked about this with Kershaw, that no game on the road is safe with him. We've talked about this in the past.
I said that I wasn't impressed with that game one start where everybody made such a big deal that for all the bad playoff games you had, I'm not going to give you a pass because you had one good playoff game, you know? So, I don't know. Anyway,
yeah.
We'll talk tomorrow.
All right, take it easy, Gally.
Okay, sir. All right.
All right, so right now, after that interlude with the Giants, we still got a 5-0 lead for the Astros. Got a pitching change coming up. With runners on first and second in the bottom of the fifth. Peacock had been chewing up innings for the Astros because of how wild McCullers was. But again, a lot of this just has to do with how over-aggressive the Dodgers have been because they got behind the eight ball here. So we got, here we go, Francisco Liriano. This could go one of two ways. He could either get a strikeout or he's going to walk a ton of people. I mean, I'm very curious to see how Bellinger acts here because he's got to lay off. You got to let, he takes the first pitch for a strike, but you got to let Liriano get himself into trouble. If you go over aggressive, because Liriano's stuff moves all over the place.
Bellinger struck out twice tonight, both times against McCullers.
And breaking ball high and inside. Yeah, so two on, one out, bottom of the fifth. Fastball outside, 2-1.
As the right-handers exploited that right there. That was the curveball. It was an easy game plan. He wasn't adjusting, so you don't have to adjust. Now, He just has a different look and stay on the pitch. He is trying to get outfield grass somewhere. The ball must touch the outfield grass. 2-1 to the right side. Altuve fires to
So Bellinger is Bellinger pulls a ball. What a waste. Again, way too aggressive. He's trying to do way too much with that ball there, and it's too much movement. Way too much movement to try that that swing. You got to take it the other way. If you try to pull it, you're just going to roll it over. And, yep, they're going to pull Liriano. So he gets the lefty-lefty win, and now you're going to see someone going up against Puig. It looks like it's going to be Chris Devinsky. So two outs in the fifth. So runners on first and third and the bottom of the fifth. So going to take a quick break to grab some water, and we'll see how this at-bat goes with Puig. All right, so we're back in action. Oh, and in other news, the Knicks' three-game winning streak was predictably snapped by the Rockets, who beat them 119-97. Complete washout. I mean, the only chance the Knicks had in this game was if the Rockets had an off shooting night. Tim Hardaway had a good shooting night. Porzingis was off 7 of 18, didn't hit any threes. I mean, from what I had on mute, I mean, realistically, the Knicks had no shot at this one. If Harden's having a good shooting night, I mean, you know, he was jacking up threes, uncontested, of course, and then they were getting rebounds on us. Right now, Puig is getting challenged with fastballs, and he's missed two already. So, you know, Puig has already hit a home run off of Devinsky in this series. So, you know, Devinsky's going after him now, which I'm not sure is exactly the smartest thing to do, but, you know, they're trying to set him up for a hook now. And another fastball up high.
The only team to overcome
straight gas
deficit in a World Series from facing elimination was 15 years ago, 30 miles down the I-5. 2002 Game 6, the Angels trailed the Giants 5-0, going into the bottom of the 7th and won 6-5, and then won Game 7, a game that John Lackey started 4-1 to win their only championship. That's hard to do, to come back that late, but we've seen it. We've seen a lot of late runs. That's usually not the case against most bullpens in baseball today.
This game is literally dragging. We're a good 2+ hours in, and we're still not through the fifth inning. Just to kind of give a sense of how slow this game's dragging with every pitch at bat. Still keeping it, still trying to keep strong going on talking for this much, but I mean, this is one of those games where you're just kind of figuring out what the pitch by pitch sequence is. He keeps challenging him with these fastballs, and he's not hitting his targets. Puig's pissed because he missed a home run swing right there. That was not a good pitch. That pitch was supposed to be further up, out, and he gave it right down the wheelbarrow for Puig, and Puig just missed one. And time again.
Pitch out of the strike zone. It looks like they're willing to give. Second base, nobody covered the last time Bellinger took off. Only in the fifth. 5-run game, and Devinsky calls out the can.
And we have a pitcher-catcher timeout. Yes. Yes. I understand why some people want a clock in baseball. This is part of the game, but oh man, this is. Fox is literally airing a Wendy's commercial in the middle of the at bat. This is terrible. Wow. Wendy's commercial in the middle of an at bat. Oh. For game seven, no less. Oh. Line drive caught by Gurriel, though. He hit it right on the screws. And the Dodgers, Buck just said, the Dodgers have left 8 runners on base so far this game seven. This is just not a good scene right now for the Dodgers. Honestly, if the Astros can scrape together one more run or just get another homer, you might actually be able to deflate the Dodgers completely, because the fact that the Dodgers keep struggling to put together the big hit to get at least a run across the board, you can completely deflate them at this point if you can get another insurance run on top of this after they deflated yet again in front of the home crowd. So the crowd's already getting restless, so you're already starting to hear some of the boo birds. I mean, you heard them out earlier for Darvish, but yeah, this is it's about as bad as it gets for the Dodgers. So I'm going to take another break, and we'll see how the rest of the game goes, and if I get any more feedback from my friends calling in. So take it easy, people.
It's the most talked about position in all of sports, the quarterback. And now there's a show solely dedicated to the most sought after role on the field, Celebrity QB, featuring 4-time Super Bowl champion coach Charlie Weiss. Unlike other football shows, you'll get the inside scoop on all things quarterbacks. Like, is this the year Tom Brady finally looks his age? Will dating Danica Patrick distract Aaron Rodgers?
I mean, he's dating Danica Patrick, Charlie. We're interested in that, you know?
Well, I mean, Tommy's got Giselle. I'll take Giselle, okay?
Is Dak Prescott good enough to win a Super Bowl for the Cowboys? Which rookie quarterback has the best shot of making a positive impact in 2018?
How about intellectually, Charlie, as far as what they ask the quarterbacks to do now?
The game has changed, but the pressure that's put on quarterbacks, and it's always been put on quarterbacks, is tremendous.
Join Charlie Weiss and co-host Steve Strout on an all-new podcast from Lasting Media, exclusively about quarterbacks. Subscribe now at Apple iTunes or wherever you listen to great podcasts. Celebrity QB, everyone's favorite position.